Good morning. It's great to see you. Glad that you're here. I want to welcome all of our other campuses, downtown, Seminole. It's been a crazy, fun summer as we've taken our road trip together, and we're wrapping it up today, concluding everything. I hope you've taken advantage of all of the opportunities to connect to what we're doing and where we're going each and every week. And if not, just know that we archived all the messages. They're all parked for you so that you can go back and look at them and pick up anything that you might have missed. And in addition to that, make sure that you sign up for our very last trip that we're giving away tonight. Two people are going to the Keys on us, and so you don't want to miss out on that. So go upstairs, stop by the mezzanine, and while you're there, say hello to me and some others that will be there. But we'd love to give you the trip, but you can't get it if you don't sign up. So lots of things going on. If you're at our other campuses, those sign-ups are down in the lobbies or outside the doors where you are. Make sure you sign up as well, and we'll give away that trip tonight. But it's been fun, and we're concluding this series today and moving forward to some exciting stuff we have planned for this fall. As a matter of fact, coming up in about 3 weeks, we're starting a brand new series called It's Tricky. And what we're going to be doing is dealing with the questions that are sometimes hard to answer, right? And we're going to let you ask those questions. So here in the next few weeks, we'll give you some resources and some ways that you can ask questions, those things that you've always wanted to talk about but maybe haven't had the chance to talk about, or sometimes those things that are kind of tricky for you. And we're going to unpack them and answer them as best we can over the next few weeks this fall. So be excited about that coming up. I think in 3 weeks, we'll start that series. Lots of stuff going on. But as we wrap up Road Trip today, I want to take us back to that passage of Scripture that we've been using as our fuel, if you will, the gas in our tank each and every week. And I want to read it together with you, but I want you to read it with me, all right? Out loud, with energy, all right? Like you're happy on all of our campuses. Let's read this out loud together. Jesus says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion?" Let's stop. Maybe that's you, right? Tired, worn, burned out, you know, just wondering what's the point, right? Jesus responds, let's read it. "Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life." He goes on, "I'll show you how to take a real rest." Now, whoa. I'll stop you. I'm glad you're reading. All right, "I'll show you how to take a real rest." I'm talking about a real rest, not just a partial rest, not a 20-minute power nap. I'm going to show you how to really rest and recuperate and recover. Right? That's how we recover our lives, is by taking a real rest. And he tells us how we can find that rest. Read it with me. "Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace." That's what we've been trying to teach you, is that this whole life, this journey we're on, is rhythmic. Life is a rhythm. Right? Your heart beats in rhythm. If it doesn't, see your doctor. All right? The ocean moves in and out. Tides go up and down. The sun rises. The sun sets. Life is rhythmic. And what Jesus wants you to discover is the rhythm, not the forced rhythm, not to try to put it in a box rhythm, but the free rhythm that he has for each and every one of us. Let's keep reading. "I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Turn to your neighbor and say, "You can learn to live freely and lightly." Say that to them. All right? Say that on all of our campuses. You can learn to live freely and lightly. The question is, will you? Right? That's the question that we have posed before us today, is will we? As we wrap up this journey, if you will, we've started with taking account of the stories that we're going to discover along the way. We've taken account of the people that we're traveling with. We've looked at the road signs along the way that need to give us caution. We've looked at direction. Today, I want to focus on destination, because a road trip has to have a destination. But how do you know that you've gone the right place? Right? You ever gone on a trip and wondered whether or not you were in the right location? Maybe you were looking for a hotel or a landmark. Hey, is this it? Are we in the right place? I remember looking back at Michael's story that he shared with us back in June about, you know, he and Betsy going way out of the way to get to a destination and not knowing that they had gone too far. Hey, do you ever wonder if you're in the right place? Have you ever gone to the place that's the wrong place? Maybe you've been sent to somebody's house and you pull up in the driveway and you wonder, is this the house? Is this the right house? Have you ever knocked on the door of the wrong house, right? I've done that. We've all done that. How do you know whether or not you're in the right place? As a matter of fact, that's a big question that I want to pose to you. And I want you to see it this way. How can you be sure you're in the right place? Two important words, to be sure. Because, you see, one of the things that we struggle with is surety. As a matter of fact, I think it's one of the biggest struggles that we have as Christ followers, and even for those of us who are on the edge of faith, is how can I be sure? How do I know for sure? And then the second word is the right place. Because we're all going to end up someplace. The question is, are we going to end up in the right place? That's the big question that we have to pose to ourselves. And then we have to ask ourselves, am I headed there? Have I arrived there? Am I going to get there? Now, what does the right place look like according to Matthew chapter 11? Well, Jesus said, are you tired, worn out, burned out in religion? Come to me. And then he says these words, get away with me and you'll recover your what? That's the right place. A recovered life. A life that he has for you. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. There are going to be some bumps. But hey, I have overcome the world. And I want you to discover in this world a life, and a life full and abundant, overflowing. A good way to describe it, if you literally translate that abundant life, Jesus is saying, I want you to have bonus life. I don't want you just to consume and live. I want you to get the bonuses I have for you. So how do you know if you're getting there? How do you know if that's where you're at, if you've arrived there, or at least moving towards it? Because you see, here's the thing. All along, that's been God's plan for you, is that you would find life. That you would find the life. As a matter of fact, from the very beginning, he created you for that life. He has this perfect plan. And it's perfect. You know, when he said, I won't put anything ill-fitting on you, I've tailor-made it for you. Right? It's perfect. It's just for you. The Bible says that that's been God's plan all along for every single one of you. It goes so far as to say in Scripture that he knit us together in our mother's womb. He saw you. He put this plan together. He knitted you. That's not an easy process. That's not just an automatic. That's a process over time. I made all this for you. And what I want you to do is recover that. Because you've allowed all this other stuff to get you off track. You're not going the direction you need to go. And I want you to recover that. I want you to find what you're looking for. Find the right place. But how do you know? How do you know? How do you know for sure? Because I think that the number one thing that we as Christians deal with is doubt. Now, last week, we read and, you know, we looked at the different signs, the road signs. And one of the stop signs that Jesus gives us is he said, stop doubting and believe. Remember who he was talking to? He was talking to Thomas. Jesus had just risen from the dead. He was alive and he was presenting himself to his disciples. And the picture is, I want you to recover life. I have recovered life. The Father brought me back to life. I want you to recover life. You're defeated. You're down. You think this is it. It's all over. I want you to recover your life. And here I am. But Thomas just couldn't. He couldn't lean into that. He kept saying, you know, there's got to be more. Jesus says, look, touch me. Here I am. I'm right here. I want you to recover what you're looking for. But Thomas was a doubter by nature. And I think for us, a lot of us fall into that category. We doubt. As a matter of fact, all of us doubt from time to time. Anybody that's told you they never doubt is lying to you, and you should doubt them, right? Because we all doubt from time to time. It's a human thing. It's a part of who we are. So here's the second big question. What about our doubts? What about my doubts? What about your doubts? How do we navigate even though we have doubts? Well, one of the ways I want to help you is doubting is kind of like the dashboard of a car. All right, we're on a road trip, and we have the dashboard. And today we have these really cool dashboards, right, that tell us everything. They tell us, you know, when we're out of gas. They tell us what radio station we're listening to. They tell us, you know, that we're out of our lanes. You know, they got all this stuff. I had to rent a car recently, and it had that lane assist stuff. And that thing fights you, man. You want to change lanes on the interstate, it tells you no. No, you're not. I'm saying, yes, I am. And I just, but... but we have these dashboards now that do all these things. But this is a great picture of life, and it's a great picture of how doubt sometimes enters in. See, as long as life is going along well and our dashboard is clear of all of these warning lights, we're good, right? We're just cruising. But the moment a warning light comes up, maybe it's a gas light. Or maybe it's your engine light, or maybe it's an oil light, or something. The moment that sucker flashes up, what do we do? Oh my goodness, what do I need to do? Should I pull over now? Should I go? Should I keep going? Should I stop? What do I do? La, la, la. Trying to talk to the car. Car, tell me what to do, right? And we start having all of this conflict. As long as the dash of our car is lit up with the things that we like and the things that don't confuse us, we're good. We just cruise along. But the moment something unexpected pops up, what do? We begin to doubt. That's life. That's what we do. So how do we navigate? How do we allow our dashboard to impact us and to guide us but not derail us or take us off course? Doubt is a very human thing. It's a very normal process. But oftentimes what we do is we doubt in ways that we shouldn't be doubting. Let me give you some examples of some types of doubt. First of all, there's intellectual doubts. A lot of you are overthinkers, right? And you think through it too much and you can't process it. And as a result, you allow your thoughts to derail you and you get all sidetracked and you get stuck in your own head, right? The Bible doesn't tell us to check our brains. It doesn't tell us to do that. But what it tells us to do is operate in a very different capacity than what we're used to. He says, focus on our heart. There's an old spiritual song that we used to sing a lot called, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. Help me to see with my heart, because my head oftentimes gets in the way. For those of you who are intellectual doubters, let me give you a great resource, just a resource that's available at all of our Gear Up areas. It's called The Case for Faith. Lee Strobel, probably our greatest modern day apologetics person. Lee was one of the editors at the Chicago Tribune, and his wife became a believer. Lee was an atheist, and he decided, well, I'm going to shoot down all my wife's new belief, and so I'll be able to attack it. So he took the 8 questions that he had about faith, and therefore the 8 objections that would keep him from stepping into faith and believing in God and whatever, and he decided he was going to use those against his wife, and in the process of putting together this whole defense, he became a believer, right? And so it's a great resource, The Case for Faith. For those of you who are intellectual doubters, get this, okay? It's probably the best book that's out there. If you can't afford it, I'll give you one. But it's that important. I hope all of you don't come. My finance people just went nuts. Come and see me. We'll see what we can do. All right, but the idea is that oftentimes we allow intellectual doubts to keep us from moving forward. Some of us doubt because of a lack of growth. We're just not getting anywhere. So therefore, we begin to doubt whether it's even important. I mean, it's like joining a gym and going and being in the gym and trying to do some things, but you're not seeing any results. You may begin to wonder whether or not you should keep going, right? Or whether or not I should keep paying this money. So we have these lack of growth doubts. And maybe that's where some of you are. And the reason why you're doubting is because you've never grown in your faith. It's the same thing with any kind of relationship. Maybe you're doubting that relationship because you're not growing in that relationship. You settled. You've gotten comfortable and therefore complacent. And as a result, you begin to doubt. A lot of us, and probably the majority of us, have what we call emotional doubts. All right? It's that I just don't feel it anymore, Tim. Right? That's why a lot of marriages break up. But I'm just not feeling it anymore, so I'm getting to doubt. And so let that doubt take control. Next thing you know, you're out the door. And it's the same thing spiritually. I'm not feeling it anymore, Tim, or I never really felt anything. I'm trying to feel it, but I don't know what to do with that. And so I'm beginning to doubt. Let me help you something. The problem is that many of us are spending our spiritual equity on feelings. Okay? Feelings come and they go. part of that rhythm of life that Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 11, it deals with feelings. Sometimes you're going to feel it, sometimes you're not. I remember when I first, when Brennan was first born, my oldest son, I remember, you know, he was new. We had Don and I had been married 12 years before we had had Brennan. It wasn't by design. It was just God's thing. And so, you know, we kind of settled into a life. I was in my mid-30s, you know, and then all of a sudden I got this creature living with me. And I would sometimes, you know, forget that I was a dad. You ever do that? Where I remember getting in the car one time and backing out of the driveway and went, oh, I've got a kid. And I'd go back in. And he's just in there going, here I am. You know, you just forget you're a dad. And I remember times when I wouldn't feel like a dad. Like at 3 o'clock in the morning when he's screaming, I don't really feel like being a dad anymore. Right? But the truth is I'm still a dad, right? Feelings has nothing to do with it. And that's the problem. Let me help you understand it by giving you three really important words. Fact, faith, feeling. And I want you to write these words down, but I want you to write them down in this order. Fact, faith, feeling. See, because the problem is most of us have approached our spiritual journey backwards. We approach it feeling, faith, fact. And that is the wrong way to approach this journey. We approach it based on feelings. We make decisions based on feelings when that is the wrong way to make decisions. Let me help you. First of all, let's look at fact. Fact always precedes feeling. It does. And fact always precedes faith. See, we're on a faith journey, but if we place our faith in feelings and those feelings wean or those feelings go away, then what happens to our faith? We begin to doubt, right? When in reality, we need to place our faith in fact, because faith always, it must have an object. You place your faith in something. You place your faith in someone. Faith always has an object. And our object is God. So we don't base it on feeling. We base it on fact. Let me help you. John chapter 14 says this. Do not let your hearts be troubled. By the way, hearts are feeling. That's the feeling zone. And we start to doubt. And we start to wonder. And that's what he's saying. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts lead you to doubt. Don't let feelings drive you. But instead, you believe in God. The object of your faith is God. It's not based upon feeling. It's based on fact. God is who he said he is. God is the creator of the universe. This didn't just happen. This didn't just happen. Now, maybe you're sitting there going, well, Tim, well, I'd like to argue with that. Okay, make an appointment with me. But pack a lunch because we're going to be there a while. I'd love to have that conversation with you. The fact is that God is real. As a matter of fact, if that's one of the tricky questions you have, write that down. We might just address that when we do It's Tricky. But the fact is that you place your faith, belief, in an object, God, not in a feeling. The problem is most of us placed it in a feeling, right? We got all hyped up and all excited. And here's the problem. Our community is littered with churches that are hype and feeling driven. Stay out of those churches, guys, because that's not going to stand the light of day. We do not put our faith in a feeling. We put our faith in God. Secondly, Jesus says, believe also in me. Again, put your faith in Jesus. He's the object of our faith. Let me give you another verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1 says this. I know whom I have believed. Okay, that's knowledge. If you know, right, then you don't have doubt. He says, the way that my doubt goes away is that my faith is in a factual thing for me. And therefore, I'm convinced that what? He, Jesus, fact, object, is able to guard what I have in faith given to him until that day. See the picture? Fact. God is who he said he is. God gave us Jesus because we needed it. Jesus came and he walked amongst us. He lived with us. He showed us the way, the truth, the life that we can recover if we'll go on a road trip with him. He said, come to me. I'll teach you the unforced rhythms. Jesus gave himself for us. God rose him from the dead and he recovered his life. And you and I can worship him and gather with him. That's fact. That's fact. By the way, Jesus is the most debated historical figure in the history of the world, but there's more evidence for the existence of Jesus Christ than there is for George Washington. And yet we have no problem placing George Washington as our first president and making that factual. Jesus, in fact, is exactly who he said he was. And we put our faith in him because that's who we can trust with the trip that we have ahead of us. So fact needs to come first. And then we have faith. Faith as an object, fact. But faith is a process that we all need to step. Now, faith is not based upon feelings. Faith has feelings attached to it. But it isn't founded in feelings. It is founded in fact. But then we respond to that fact in faith. Check out this verse. Ephesians chapter 2 says, for it is by grace. That's a gift that God gives us that you can't give yourself. That's a fact. It comes in one place only, a relationship with Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. The way we get to the fact of a relationship with Jesus is through our belief and faith in him. And this is not from yourselves. You can't do it. That's a fact. It is the gift of God. Again, object. Not by what you and I do so that no one can boast. You see that? Fact leads us to faith. And then we get to this thing called feeling. But see, the problem is most of us have placed it all on feeling. And so as soon as the feeling starts getting wishy-washy, what do? We get wishy-washy. We start down. We start wondering. I just don't feel it anymore. Listen, every morning at 3 o'clock when Brennan would cry, I didn't feel like getting up. I didn't feel like I wanted to be a dad. It didn't change the fact that I was. See the thing? So feelings cause us to doubt. But feelings can also drive us. They can encourage us. They can lead us to new things. And your relationship with God is not based upon a feeling. It is based on the fact of who he is and what he did and what he can do for you. So what happens when the feelings rise? We remember this verse, Romans chapter 8. For I am convinced, there it is, there's no doubt there, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, angels, demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all in creation, including your feelings, because God created those, you know, anything, including your feelings, will be able to separate us from the love of Christ. You see that? Your relationship with Jesus is not based upon nor secured in your feelings. So some days you're going to have really good feelings. Some days you're not. But none of those keep us from having a relationship with Jesus. All of that is in the fact of who Jesus is and the faith we place in that fact, and then whether we feel it or not doesn't matter. Make sense? See, we've been on this road trip, and a lot of you are wondering, am I going the right direction? Should I take this step? Have I arrived? And we're looking around, we're looking for the address, we're trying to figure it out. I'm just not sure, I'm not feeling right. Check your feelings and move to fact. Here's the fact. God, created the rhythm of life for you, for me, for us. And he knows best how to have that life. And he knows best how to recover that life that you have lost along this journey. And the fact is that the way that you and I recover that life is Jesus. That's fact. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. Tim, I don't like that. I don't care. It's fact. It's fact. It's just true. So what you have to do is check your feelings and decide, am I going to put faith in myself and what I can accomplish? Or am I going to place faith in the one who authored life from the very beginning and therefore holds my future and my destination in the palm of his hand? And then whether you feel it or not doesn't matter. If you and I can say that, then we're on the journey. It's going to have bumps. It's going to have stop signs and yield signs. It's going to have rest times. It's going to have times when we're not so sure. But if we trust and place our faith in the fact of who Jesus is, he will not fail us. The Bible says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And if we can do that, then we can answer the question, am I going to the right place, with yes. And then this verse can speak to us in ways that we haven't. If I was going to sum up everything we've talked about for the last 10 weeks, here it is. What we've learned is this. And remember, we've been learning. Jesus said, learn the unforced rhythm of grace. Learn what it means to walk with me. Follow me and see how I'm doing it. What we've learned is this. God does not respond to what we do. It is not about what you do or don't do. It is about who you are in him. We respond to what God does. See, he doesn't respond to what we do. If he did, we would all be doomed. He loves us in spite of our failures. He doesn't respond to what we do. We respond to what he's done. The author, the fact, the object of our faith. We respond to what God does. We finally figured it out. Hopefully that's happened for you. Our lives get in step with God. That's rhythm. Unforced, getting in behind him and all others. That's looking at the people that we have around us, up close to us, by letting him set the pace. Let me give you a suggestion today. Get out of the driver's seat and let God drive. Watch what happens. See, I used to think God would wreck it. I really did. Man, if I get out of the way, God's going to wreck it. Listen, he knows secrets that you don't know. He sees the curve and what's beyond it and what's beyond that. All you see is the obstacle. All you see is the limitations. He can drive that thing faster than you'll ever drive, and he can slow it down anytime it needs to be slowed down. He has perfect control. You just have to let him drive. Let him set the pace. Not by proudly or, here's that word, anxiously. Doubt comes from anxiety and worry, not anxiously trying to run the parade. Here's the picture. God has this celebration of life for you. It's a party. It's a parade. And he wants you just to simply get in behind him, let him drive, and watch where he takes you. But it has nothing to do with the way you feel. It has everything to do with who he is. Let's pray together. So as you bow your heads, I just want to ask you on all of our campuses just to think. Have I focused on feelings and have I reversed this thing when I should be looking at fact? Have you placed your faith in what you feel or have you placed your faith in the fact of who God is and the fact that he gave you Jesus? If not, then I want to encourage you right now just to flip it. It doesn't mean your feelings are not important. Feelings are good. Feelings help us, encourage us, lead us. But feelings are not what we put our faith in because feelings come and go. We put our faith in the fact that God loved you so much that he sent his son, who gave his life for you in spite of the fact that you didn't deserve it. And all you have to do is receive him as the gift that God intended him to be. Not doing anything to earn it, but simply receive it in faith. That is a fact. Father, we come to you in this moment. Many of us still trying to figure out this feeling thing. And doubt enters in and we start to try to control it. And we try to do our own thing and manage it our own way. In reality, we just have to accept the fact of who you are. And the fact that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus. And when we in faith receive that gift, then the feelings will take care of themselves. God, I pray that we find free and light lives. We find the freedom that comes in who you are and what you want to do in our lives. And that we will set out on this journey with you, letting you drive. In Jesus' name, amen.